The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Thank you. As our ushers make their way through, we have Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. You're welcome to take this. They're both available in English and Spanish, so just raise your hand up if you'd like a Bible. I also have notes for today, and because I was taking care of a few things this morning, I didn't get them into your handouts in time, so if a couple people would just, if you would like notes for this morning's talk, just raise your hand, we'll put them in your hands. All right, so good morning. It is a good morning, and today is a special day for many reasons. First of all, we're going to peel back the curtain some today. We're going to push pause on our regular scheduled program, and we want to speed date you today. What I mean by that is, if you're visiting with us, we want to give everything in a nutshell of the importance of who we are and what we're about. Some of you just heard an announcement about that being the 101 class next week. We're going to go a little deeper into a few specific areas. I still want to encourage you, if you are considering partnering with us for this phase of your journey in life, we'd love to meet with you at that hour next week. We do that the first Sunday, I think, of each month, when possible. And so come on out for that. But today, we want to kind of give you a picture. Today is the last day for a while that we will have a 10:30 service. Next week we'll start at 10:30. But next week is a special service as we get ready to launch our two new services on September 14th. September 14th, we will have a 9:30 service and an 11 o'clock service. And at those services, we're going to continue to do what we're all about, and we're going to share that with you today. And we want you to engage in what God's doing here. If this is the local church that God has led you to be a part of, if this is the local body of believers that God is calling you to connect with, we want you to connect. We want you to engage. And we're going to break this down in four words today. I want to encourage you and challenge you to connect, to serve, to give, and to invite. And your notes will break that down for you. I'll break that down for you. But we want you to walk away today with no questions unanswered. We want you to know who Hope Hill is, what we're about, and why you're important, why you should be involved here and be a part of the body of Christ that he's building here. We have had a great summer. We looked back at several of the Old Testament stories throughout scriptures, seeing how they all point to Christ. And ultimately, that's what Hope Hill is about. It's about giving people in our world hope that can only be found in Christ. And it's because of what he accomplished by giving his life on a cross on a hill 2,000 years ago, a hill called Calvary, that we have hope today, and that this world needs to know what that hope is all about. Jesus is the true answer for all of life's problems. And God has left us here as the church to be that beacon of hope, to be those sent ones, those ambassadors, not to just sit in rows every once in a while, or even weekly, but to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community and around the world. So today we want to fill in some blanks for you. No pun intended. If you've got blanks there to fill out, you can fill them in. But we want to help you know what it means to get engaged. And so let's dive in, okay? First of all, who are we? Well, together we are a church. Let me tell you a couple things. First of all, church is not a building. A lot of people come to me as the pastor of a three-year-old church, and they say, so when are you going to get a building? We have one. That's what this is. It's a building, okay? Yes, we rent it, and yes, we have to set up and tear down almost every week, but we have a building. The building is not a church. The church is not a building. The church is you and I, the people of God, gathered together on mission, on Christ's mission that he gave us from the beginning of time to reach, to go, and to make disciples who make disciples. Will we one day have a building? A lot of people still ask that question. Maybe. Okay? We might have a building. Our hope is to carry out the mission of God, and sometimes buildings help that. Okay? And so we have a building we meet in, and right now it's the most cost-effective thing that we do is meeting in this school. We also have a building that another church shares with us that we use for office space and storage and for our student ministries. But will one day Hope Hill own its own land and building? Probably, but that's not what's driving what we're about. Okay? God will give us what we need to fulfill the mission that he is calling us to fulfill. Okay, and if a building is in that plan, it will come when God says it's time. And so I just want that to be clear, that we are the church and we don't need a building. To be honest, as the church, you don't even need me. You don't even need our staff, because the church is the body. It's the people. It's you and I together, working together to be the body of Christ on this earth, proclaiming hope in dark places. And so we want you to know that who we are is a gathered people who believe in that mission. We are a gathered people transformed by the love and forgiving power of Jesus Christ, who are messy, who are imperfect, who are sinners, who are struggling. But we know the love of Christ, and we want to love him. We are trying our best to love him. We are trying our best to love one another. And we want to be a people that spur each other on to that love and to following in the footsteps of Christ. So that is who we are. We are about bringing hope through that mission. What we're about is all wrapped up in that. Today, you see these backpacks. 3 years ago, these backpacks are a manifestation of us launching out 3 years ago and saying, the world doesn't need just another church that's really a disguise of a country club, okay? The world doesn't need just another place where people who call themselves Christians can gather once in a while, sing a few songs, read a few scriptures, and then go on about our lives. We want to be about glorifying God in everything we do, not just in our gathered time on a Sunday morning. We want to be about glorifying God in how we live, how we work, how we play, how we go to school, how we play in our sports, everything we do. We want that to be a reflection of who God is in our life. And we are about glorifying God in everything we do. The next thing we are about is we are about impacting this world. God did not save a handful of people and say, okay, you guys got it. I'm leaving now. Take care of yourselves. It was never the plan for the church just to turn inward and take care of one another. It was always the mission and plan of God from the beginning in Genesis chapter 12, when God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to all the nations. It has been God's plan from the beginning that we would be impacting the world with the love of Jesus Christ and his saving gospel being proclaimed in both word and deed. And so we are here, and we're going to do everything we can to impact this world, by giving out backpacks to families in need, by providing Thanksgiving dinners at holidays, Christmas presents for children, by building wells in Africa like we did last year, by helping a human trafficking effort and helping rescue someone caught in human trafficking. We're going to be about all of that together as we go on about the mission of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, the scriptures tell us over and over again, that when he was here on earth, he was proclaiming the kingdom, but he was not just doing it with words. The scriptures say over and over again that when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion, and he met their needs. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He took care of the poor. And the church, Hope Hill, the local church, is to be God's expression of that body of Christ here in this area. And so we're going to be about impacting the world by being the hands and feet of Jesus. And in response to that, we will see God's loving power transform lives. There are many of you sitting in this room who came to know us either by a neighbor reaching out to you and sharing a meal with you, or you were invited to a thing called a free sale where there was a ton of items and you had your needs provided for and you wanted to know more about a church that would go out of their way just to give stuff away. And you came and you learned about the love of Jesus Christ. We've seen over 150 of you baptized, taken the steps of seeing your life transformed, being dead to your old ways and made anew in Christ. And that's what we're about ultimately, is helping bring the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ to all in our world. And we look to you because you are what makes this possible. You know, God's plan from the beginning was to raise up you and I to be the church, to be the body of Christ, making a difference in this world. And that's what we're about. And that's why occasionally sometimes we won't even have this thing called a worship gathering. We'll close these doors and we'll get out in our community and we'll bless people in Jesus' name. Because that's what it was about. Now, yes, this local body of believers gathering together regularly is important. The scriptures tell us to not forsake the gathering of the saints. You and I are to come together to equip each other, to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to pray for each other. And so we want to provide an environment where that can happen in the best way possible. And we're going to unfold that as we go throughout our morning talk. You are important. We are important together. This statement may scare you, and it should, because we have to take the seriousness of this statement to heart. That we together are the closest that some people will ever get to Christ on this earth. We are His representation. We are left behind to proclaim who He is, to show others who He is by the way we love one another. So let's dive in. The first thing I want you to do today is I want you to seriously think about engaging in Hope Hill Church, to joining us on mission. Our mission, I just unfolded for you. Our mission is to see lives change, to impact our world, and God is going to give us the resources we need to do that. And I want you to engage in that, to become a part of something bigger than yourself. And together we can do the impossible. So the first thing that we're going to do is I'm going to challenge you to connect. I want you to connect in community. You see, for ages and ages, religions were built on pagan rituals that basically set apart a religious system where there was a temple, and this temple required you often, maybe yearly, maybe regularly, to bring some kind of sacrifice to that temple to appease the gods. That sacrifice may have been an animal. In some cases, it may have been a child. There were all kinds of things. It was about coming and doing whatever you could and bringing whatever you could to a temple to appease whatever god it is that you were worshiping. But Jesus later said, "For with you, it's going to be different." People aren't going to know that you are followers and Christians by how much you give to me. People aren't going to know how devoted you are and how great a Christian you are by how many Bible studies you attend. People aren't going to know how great a Christian you are and how loving I am by the number of times you gather together in a closed huddle. They are going to know you are Christians by your love for one another. John 13:34 puts it like this. Jesus said this. Jesus said, "A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." This is at the core of what Christ is all about. Christ was saying, look at each other, take care of each other, disciple one another, care for one another, take care of one another's needs. We see this demonstrated in the earliest church in Acts chapter 2, where none went without because all saw one another's needs and took care of one another. They gathered in one another's homes. They broke bread together. They ate together. They learned the teachings of Christ together. They did this together. And our picture of one another is not here in rows. So many times our churches are so used to getting together for one another stuff by coming together and sitting in rows when instead we should be sitting in circles. So everybody make a circle. No, I'm just joking. So our version of a circle is in our community groups. It's in our homes. It's in our networks where we are engaging and living life with one another, turning towards each other and lifting each other up so that we can then turn our backs to each other and look out to the world and see what the mission is all about. So we want you to connect in community, not just sit in a chair on a Sunday morning. We want you to engage in community. We want you to discover the truth of what it means to get to know someone at a deeper level, to love one another, to share your struggles with one another, to pray for one another, to meet each other's needs, and to encourage each other on to deeper truths of the gospel. We do this through our community groups. As we start the new school year, we're going to be starting a whole new opportunity for you to dive into groups. If you've been attending Hope Hill for a while, and you're not yet plugged into a community group, you're missing out. We have information in our handouts on all our community groups, and we want to start more. Our goal this year was to have 16 community groups by the end of the year, just because it made sense. If we had 160 of you regularly sitting in chairs, we should have 10 groups, 16 groups with 10 people. So we just threw that number out there. So we want to encourage you. And 160 is what I think is the number of sitting here. We've got almost 100 kids in the back. On a Sunday morning, we'll average about 200, 250. There's about 350 people that call Hope Hill their church. And if this is truly your church, we want you engaging with one another, connecting with one another, getting to know one another so that we can care for you, so we can build you up. So get involved, connect in a community group. And if you're sitting there and saying, you know what, I'm not in a group yet, maybe God wants to use you to help start a new one instead of connecting in one already existing. We have none in the Manassas side. You know you're sitting in Manassas right now. A lot of people don't realize that. We're on this weird stick-out part. But we have nothing that side of Hoadley, wherever Hoadley is, okay? I know some of you drive from that side of the county. We need some community groups over there, reaching into their neighborhoods, connecting with other people who don't yet know Christ. We'll have a whole nother talk on community groups. Jesus said, they will know who you are by how you love one another. Number two, the second thing I want you to do, I want you to serve on a team. Hope Hill Church, structurally, we've decided to organize ourselves by teams. We've got several teams that run several different areas of ministry. And we want you to be a part. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 4 is the beginning of the church. In the earliest days, the apostles, the disciples, they were trying to teach all the masses all the wonderful things about Jesus. At the same time, they were trying to meet all the needs. They were trying to give backpacks to kids in need. They were trying to make sure people who didn't have food were fed. And the work just became so great. Let's face it, there are so many needs in our world. But there's an answer, and it's the church. Jesus put us here to meet those needs. In chapter 1, verses 6, 1 through 6, I think. Here we go. Acts chapter 6, I keep saying it wrong. Here we go. In those days when the numbers of the disciples were increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews over their widows because they were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, the apostles, the disciples, the teachers, gathered all the disciples together. And it said it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. It's not that they were saying it's beneath us. There was just so much to do. It all needed to be done. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. And then we will give our attention to the prayer and the ministry of the word. Verse 7. Can you go to verse 7? And verse, go to 7. So the word of the God, word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The whole point of what I'm trying to get across here is that there is so much to do that we all need to get in the game. We all need to serve on a team. And at the end of today, we're going to have so many opportunities for you to pray over, to look at what team can I get on right now. And we'll help you figure out if it's the right fit, but just get on a team. Serve on a team. And we need each and every one of you. Right now, I think we've got over 120 people serving on teams. That's amazing. But the work is just beginning. And we have so much more to accomplish. So we want you to get on a team. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 says this. When referring to us as the body of Christ, I keep talking about that over again. Each of us have a part in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 puts it like this. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Go ahead and find verse 27 while I talk about that. So each of you sitting in this room right now, you all have different gifts. You all have different ways that you can serve. Some of you are gifted and you could get up here and help lead us in worship. Some of you are gifted in Excel spreadsheets and you can help us organize all our projects so that we can take care of people better. Some of you are gifted in setup and tear down and construction and building stuff, and we can put you to work either helping us set up and tear down every week or in our community when we're aware of projects. You have gifts. You have skills that God has given you with. And they were given to you not for you just to enjoy and take care of yourself with, but for the common good. And we have a place for, God has a place for each and every one of you on one of these teams. And some of you are like, you're afraid because you'd say, I don't want to serve in children's ministry because I'm no good at it. Well, the truth is we would never put you to work in children's ministry. And you know why? Because you're no good at it. We will help you find places where you can excel and shine and be the star that God is calling you to be. Just take a step forward and let us help you find that place. We want to build an environment where people can come and see that God is good. We want to create an environment and create opportunities where people who are far from God have an opportunity to encounter Him. And so we want this to be one of those places where people can come on a regular basis, where you can invite your friends and they are welcomed with a warm smile, where they are given a nice cup of coffee, where their children are loved on and cared for. And you make that happen. So we need you to get on a team and to serve and to make a difference. The next area we need you to get on board is we need you to give. Oh no, here's another pastor talking about money. The truth is that money is needed to do the things that we do. We're not all about money. God has blown us away with helping us do things that are amazing, beyond even explanation. Last year, we adopted, I think, 57 families for Christmas. A local organization found out about what we were doing, and with the help of Manny, who I think is here today, unless he's helping in children's ministry, they put us in touch with the organization Toys for Tots, and they said, hey, we understand you're on our mission of helping children have their needs met. Of course, our mission goes way deeper than that, but they said, can we help you? And we literally drove away a 26-foot U-Haul truck. That's big. You guys ever drone a 26-foot U-Haul truck? Full, not just the floor, but up to the ceiling of toys. Okay? An organization said, we want to help you fulfill the mission that you're on. And so this year, I'll announce to say, you don't have to buy any toys. but it gives you an opportunity to do something further for those families we're adopting. And so I can't wait to see how this year's birthday party for Jesus is going to look. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. But we want you to give so that we can continue to do the things that God is calling us to do. Outside of your personal family, the local church is the best investment you could ever make. Better than Google, but some of you are like, duh. Whoever I could say, I'm not in the stock market really. I have no idea what's good and what's bad. But I'm telling you, the stock market of Jesus Christ and his church will never fail. This is the best place where you can invest and see lives truly changed. Malachi 3:10 says this. Bring the whole tithe. A tithe back then means the same thing it means now. A tithe was 10%. 10% of their goods, 10% of their harvest, 10% of their income. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that it may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. A couple churches, just to throw out real quick, who take this seriously. One local church just down the road in Fredericksburg. I don't know if you've had a chance to visit or heard of Life Point Church. God is blessing them. I think they're just over 10 years old. They now have a location in Spotsylvania, a location in the middle of Central Park. They bought the old ice skating rink and just opened that up like a week ago. And they have a location in Stafford, and their people are growing. Lost people are coming to know Christ because of what they're doing. And all of it's possible because people are investing in their mission. They believe in what they're about. And in 1 week, last month, in 1 week, Life Point Church gave away $450,000 in 1 week. And they did it by blessing the organizations who were making a difference in that area. They blessed the teenage pregnancy center. They blessed a ton of orphanages. They blessed some missions organizations. But they did that because they had people investing in what their mission was. And together, they were able to contribute $450,000 to meet the needs and to help bring hope to people in dark places. Last year, another church, a bit larger than that, North Point Church in Atlanta, in 1 week, they gave away $4.7 million. Gave it away. So we are here and blessed to be a blessing. And that's what we want to be about, Hope Hill Church. We want to be about making a difference, and dollars help make a difference. They help put backpacks on the backs of children who are in need. They help put food on dinner tables of families who can't afford to buy food. They help bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to far and hard to reach places. And as we give and invest in the mission of Jesus Christ, we will see the heavens gates, floodgates open, and God will pour out his blessing. Jesus himself echoed this in Matthew 23:23. He was talking to the religious elite of the day who thought they had it all together. They said, yes, we tithe, we give of all we have, and we go to the temple and we study the scriptures. But they neglected something. They neglected the care of others. Matthew 23:23 says this. Woe to you, Jesus says, teachers of the law. You're supposed to be teaching the scriptures to others, but you're hypocrites. Yes, you tithe. You go ahead. You give a tenth of your spices. You give a tenth of your mint. You give a tenth of your dill and your cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So God wants us to give, not only financially, but he wants to give of the stuff we have so that we can meet other people's needs. And I want to encourage you, as the pastor of Hope Hill Church, to discover what it truly means to give and to be a blessing. I've already said it once, outside of caring for your family, and you need to do that. I'm not in any way asking you to jeopardize the needs of your family to take care of others. But as a family, pray that God will show you how it is that you can engage in the mission of the church. I want you to learn what it means to two different types of giving that's commonly seen in our world. Giving 1.0 is the kind of giving that, like, you'll see a picture of a starving child and you can hear for $39.95, you can make a difference. And that's a great thing, and we encourage that, and we're a part of that. That's giving 1.0. You give $39.95. I tell a great story. You see a beautiful picture. You fill out a form, and then on your way home, you're like, what did I just do? How am I going to afford that? But the truth is we want you to go to the next step. And not just giving to some emotional need. We want you to give 2.0. Give to a church, because the church is here to change the world. The church is here, and we are committed to the vision and mission of God. And by giving 2.0 and giving regularly and consistently, you're saying, you know what, I'm investing in what they are about. We want to help them and partner with them and be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And we can do that by giving consistently over time a percentage of your income. And maybe you're not ready to give 10%. I know for my family that would be huge to do at times. We just sent a daughter away to college, but we are committed to the vision and mission of Hope Hill. And we are going to do everything we can to be a part in obeying God's commandment to bring the tithe into the storehouse. Giving 1.0 is intervention giving. It's there to solve a problem, to build a well, to rescue someone in human trafficking, to put food on the table of somebody in the world. But giving 2.0 is prevention giving. It's investing in an organization like ours. And the truth is that we are the body of Christ, but we also are an organization. And many times the church is the greatest organization in the world for meeting needs. I remember a couple years, well, my memory's shady, when the tornadoes hit out west, the big ones not too long ago. I remember there being interviews the day after the storm hit, when FEMA was scrambling and the government was scrambling to get resources out there. They went to the governor and they said, so what's going on here? And what came out of his mouth was, well, the government has not yet been able to step up, but we're doing good because the church is here. Many times the church can do things that governments were never intended to do. We need to be about that. And when you invest in giving 2.0, you invest in prevention giving. Instead of just helping find a home for someone who needs a foster home, you can help keep a family together so the foster home is never needed. Instead of just rescuing someone stuck in human trafficking, you can help support an organization that is attacking it at its core and building structures and systems in countries around the world to stop it from the beginning. Giving 1.0 is easy because it's emotional. It pulls at your heartstring. You can give $39.95, and if you're really moved, okay, I'll give $49.95, and you can give that one time, but giving 2.0 is better because it helps develop an organization over time that can truly make a difference. We want to invite you to be a part of Hope Hill Church and giving and investing here, because giving to a healthy local church will help us do both. We want to give 1.0 and 2.0. We want to make a difference in the areas where we see an immediate need, but we also want to plan for long-term change. And the truth is that it's God's plan that we do so. And the last thing I want to ask you to do is I want to ask you to invite. You've already heard that challenge from Julie Bermia this morning. Next week, don't just come to have some good food by yourself. We want you to bring a friend. We want you to bring, because we want to create a taste and see environment, a come and see environment where they can come and discover the love of Jesus Christ for themselves. The biggest temptation for churches, especially young churches like ours, is to fight the temptation of turning inward and taking care of ourselves. God's mission from the beginning was that we would be outward focused and seeking those who are lost and inviting them to come in and know and experience the love of Christ in their own lives. Let us not be about turning inward, but about keeping our faces outward to see, God, where have you not yet gone? have you not used me yet to reach my coworker at work? My friend who sits in my new class at school. Students, I want to challenge you. Some of you are going your senior year, your junior year, your sophomore year. Some of you will go, you have a year to reach the people who God is going to put around you over the next 9 months. And my hope and prayer, your first day of school is, God, who in my room that I'm looking at right now do you want to use me to reach? And if you ask God that, he'll lead you. He'll direct you. And some of you are sitting here because you were invited by a friend. We all need to be a part of that process of reaching people who have not yet been reached. The church does not exist for church people. In the beginning, Jesus created the church to reach non-church people because there weren't any church people yet. And that is still our mission. We exist to reach those who do not yet know Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, go. Not stay there and invite them all in. Go. And so we need to go and then invite and go and invite them into your homes. Invite them into conversations. Invite them into processes. You know what? The greatest thing ever would be that 10, 20, 30, 100 of you are having relationships with people outside of this church and they never even come here, but they still get to know Christ because they get to know you. You are leading them to Christ. And when they come here, they get to connect with other Christians who already know Christ. That would be amazing. But let's face it. The church is also here to be a place where they may hear of Christ in a new way, in a true way, in a deep way for the first time, and have their heart transformed by him. In John chapter 1, we see Jesus approach a guy named Philip. John chapter 1, verse 45 and 46, Jesus goes up to this guy and says, Philip, I want you to come. I want you to follow me. I have a mission and I want you to be a part of it. And Philip says, what? Put it up there on the screen. John chapter 1, verse 45, 46. He says, well, that sounds good, but can I go get a friend first? Yes. Philip ran and he found his friend Nathanael and he told him, you know what? We found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. It's Jesus. He's Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. He's the Messiah, the son of Joseph. Don't go to 46 yet. And that's what we want you to have. We want you to have that attitude that, yes, I have found Christ and now I'm going to run and I'm going to invite somebody to come along with me. Have you had your life transformed? Have you had your life changed? Then don't just keep it to yourself. Celebrate it. Let others know. What's the worst they're going to say? No, you're some kind of freak. Okay, so what? But how many of you really have ever heard anyone say that? I mean, they're usually civil enough to not really say it like that, right? But be bold in your invitations because you never know. They may be sitting next to you here 3, 4 months and so grateful that you helped change their eternity. So let's be bold in inviting others. We want to be a church where people can come and encounter the love of Christ, to come and see. And sure, Nathanael's answer at first was Nazareth. That's your cue, Austin 46. Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? And they might be saying that church. I was a part of a church once. It was just a bunch of hypocrites. You know what? That's the truth. We are. Because we don't have it right all the time. We don't. But the truth is that church isn't about us. It's about us emulating Christ in every way possible. Your friend might say, church, they're just going to ask for money. I just did. And Philip's response and your response, you know what, said, I don't know how to answer your questions. I don't know how to, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? And Philip doesn't try to answer that. He just says, come and see. That's what we've got to be about. I don't know how you've been hurt in the past, but just come and see. Just come try it out. God's love is that good. I started earlier by saying that you and I together, not you alone, not me alone, but somehow you and I together become the body of Christ. And others need to know that. So we need to invite them here. One of the ways that we want to help do that is we're going to start 2 services in 2 weeks. We want to create an environment where people can come, and whether they're a Christian or not, whether they're a Muslim or not, whether they're an atheist, who knows, wherever they are, we want them to feel welcome. We want them to feel that the love of Christ is here for them. And the only way we can do that is if we do it as a team. We want you to get on board. We want you to engage and join us on mission. So pull out your yellow sheet. Here we go. This yellow sheet is a picture, and these slides that we're about to put up is a picture of what we think is needed to pull off the environment we want to create this year at Hope Hill Church. And we want to pull on your heart and ask you to get on board, to connect, to serve, to give, and to invite. So where can you do that? Right here, and here's how. We are asking everybody to consider a Sunday morning being a part of a worship and serve model where you would come possibly at 9:30 and sit with your family. We're going to have a family environment where we're going to have the service is going to be 1 hour, maybe 1 hour, 10 minutes at 9:30. And then at the end of that service, we're going to usher your children back to the same ministry and love that they always get. And we want to ask you to stay and to help welcome the people that are coming at 11. To get back there and make coffee for them, to direct people into the parking lot, to welcome them and answer questions about how they can get involved here, to help teach the classes that are going on in the back. Worships and serve. How many people do we need? We need about 86 more people. Or I could say it this way, 43 of you doing 2 things. Or 21 and a half doing 4 things. Who's the half person in here? So that top one, 24 spots needed to help set up and tear down. That's not every week. That's so that you can serve 1 week a month. 24 people will help us do that. You come in and set up, and then we need 24 people to do it, tear down. You won't set up and then tear down. You'll just do set up or tear down. We need 1 person to help us outside. There's already 3 or 4 committed to be out there all the time to help us welcome people in the parking lot. We need people to host. As families come in, they've never been here to Hope Hill. They might have children. We need you to host to say, oh, I see you have young ones. Would you like me to show you around, show you where our children's ministry is, introduce you to our staff, help you get a pastry, help you get a cup of coffee, help you find a place to sit. We need 4 hosts. And you know what? For those of you that speak Spanish, we need Spanish-speaking people at every position because we have a lot of Spanish-speaking families coming to visit and be a part. We need 4 out in the parking lot helping direct traffic. And some of you, if you come regularly, if you wouldn't mind, if you'd start parking in the back, there's a whole circle back there a lot of people don't know of. That'll free up some spots for newcomers and visitors. Next. We need 6 people to be our welcome table, standing back here answering questions like, how can I get plugged in? How do I get involved in a community group? We need 6 more. These are in addition to teams we already have. We need 10 people flipping switches and moving levers and helping set up and tear down all the media and tech. Some of you are into that, pushing buttons and volume control and stuff. Some of you want volume control, right? Sign up. You think it's too loud? Sign up. Prayer team. We take this so seriously. At the end of each service, we have prayer teams available in the back. We have prayer team people that take your prayer requests throughout the week and pray over them. We're looking for at least 8 more. Spanish prayer team members. bilingual. Next, we need four of those. Opportunities and children's. We need two more first grade small group leaders. We need one kindergarten small group leader. We need three children's check-in people to help meet families and help them get plugged into our system and care for their needs. We need substitute elementary small group leaders, three of them, keep going. We need substitute nursery volunteers, two. Preschool teachers, one. Student ministry, right now, guys, listen. We have an amazing student ministry. We brought close to 80 people to camp this past summer. We've got like five dedicated adult leaders. That's it. We need more. It's on Sunday nights. Let us know if you're interested in working with our students. They're a great group of people to work with. Sunday night snack volunteers. We need four people. Of course, so we can do rotations so that not everybody's doing it every week. High school boys small group leader. Men, we need men. Right now, I think I'm one of two, three men that work with our students. We need some adult men who want to pour into some of our young adults. Middle school boys small group leader. If you've got another interest that it wasn't up there, we want to hear about it. Pull out that yellow sheet. Fill out something you're interested in. And we want to help you get connected to a team. We need you. We want to hear from you. We got 2 weeks to pull together a good structure. Of course, we could pull it off now. But we want, there are opportunities for you to be a part of something bigger than yourselves. There are great ways for you to get involved. Let's pray. As you process all of these things, the most important thing is not where you're going to serve, but do you know Jesus? Have you opened up your heart to receive his love and his forgiveness in your life? Do you believe that he died on this cross for you? Because he did. He died on a cross for you to save you and to save me from our sins. His blood was shed to wash us white as snow. And the scriptures tell us that we don't have to go get our life right to earn that salvation. We simply need to come to him and admit that we are sinful, broken people, and we need his salvation in our lives. And the moment we call out to him, he will come and fill our lives. And this morning, my hope is that you would do that. If you've never done that, you just say, Jesus, come into my life. Make me yours. Save me. Make me new. Forgive me for the life I've lived. Help me now to follow you. You take that first step right now. It'll be the best step in life you've ever taken. For those of you in this room who have taken that step, you're looking at your life, and if you've been here at Hope Hill 3 going on 4 years, we'll be 4 years old in February, and you're not yet committed in these areas, you're not really connecting, you're not really giving, you're not really serving, you're not really inviting, then you're missing out, guys. We need you to get on board. If this is your church, then be a part of it. Pray and ask God to show you where it is. I don't know where I'm going to make one more thing fit. Give it to God. He'll show you. What is it that God's calling you to do? Take that step into his arms and let him lead you. And then for those of you who are in this room and you've never taken that step of letting your community know through going through baptism, maybe today is the day and tonight is the night, and you're going to come out and you're going to say, you know what, I've been holding back too long, trying to figure out things. Stop figuring it out and just come in and dive in, literally. Let's celebrate. Let's get in the waters of baptism together and let people know what's happened inside your heart. Let's celebrate that together. Father God, I pray that you move in a way that only you can. I pray that you build this church, God. You said that you would build this church, God, and we are here watching you work. We're here watching you change lives. We simply want to see you glorified. We want to be used by you to impact our world and to see lives transformed, God. So take us, use us for you. God, meet us, each and every one of us, wherever we are in this journey, and show us our next step. Give us the power and the ability to take it. In your name we pray. As you pray about these things, our worship team is going to lead us. We have prayer teams in the back. I'm going to be at the front, ready to pray with you as well. think about these things. If there's something you need to pray about, let's pray about it. If there's a decision you need to make, then make it. And all of this is possible because of what Christ did for us. And we want to invite you to come up as a family of God, to take communion together, to take a piece of bread, a symbol of his body broken for us, dip it in this cup, a symbol of his blood shed for us, and let us remember that we do this because of what he did for us. Father God, move, have your way among us. In your name I pray. Respond as you feel led.